I try not to lose.
Try not to, anyway. Yeah, that's the way it goes. That's right. We're gonna go pedal to the metal, but I think the pedal would stick.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there a pedal
will melt?
Yeah, isn't there a car on recall with some bad? Is it Acura? I don't know.
Yeah, Honda, I think, has with Acura's a Honda. So, yeah, I would imagine Acura's caught up in that Honda thing.
Yeah,
quick recall, and it's funny, is if you have a 2021 to 2025 Ford vehicle, whether it's the Lincoln Navigator, Aviator, all the clones there, yeah. Like an Expedition, yeah. They're under recall because parts fall off of them. That's exactly how the recall reads. Body parts. So they're like the lepers of the automobile.
Hey-o!
Yeah, so if you have like a Lincoln Aviator, Expedition, or whatever, Explorer, you know, be careful in case your side door panel falls off.
I played Freddy Fender for you today, yeah, so I thought
you might have to pick up your Fender.
215-949-3232. Anybody wants to contribute to the madness, they can do just that.
Everything amazes me nowadays.
I recall, and they said, is there like a comedy routine?
I have never seen or heard about a bumper falling off of a 67 Bonneville.
No,
because if it
did,
it would probably kill somebody. But
yeah, back in the day, I know there was some years ago with bad steering and all that kind of stuff, but there are few and far between.
There was a lot more technology involved. But as far as body parts falling off your car, that's unacceptable on all kinds of levels.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, something technology-wise, as much as you don't like it, it's almost, okay. You could deal with that, but body parts falling off cars.
I think with the tech, Fred, it was always something with the electronic brain going there. Something was not hitting right. Something was missing. It was always something that threw everything off.
Yeah, usually, I mean, a lot came up with the advent of started out with the high energy ignition (HEI) with the modules inside the distributors. They took the place of points and condenser. And then, Ford started with what we called them a brain, but it was the EEC, engine control.
Right.
They would burn out. They would mount it on the fenders of most Fords, and then somehow they'd burn out. You just unscrew it, look over, and you see the big melt spot on the backside. You say, there you go, and then you get a new one and put it back on. But they were expensive back in the day.
They were. Yeah.
And I remember my dad had a 75 Lincoln, and it went through a lot of those EEC modules, and there was something. We couldn't find out what was wrong. We tried all kinds of things, and my dad ended up with just putting a distributor and points and stuff back in an old coil, and then it never had a problem again.
Home remedy there,
Yeah, so there might have been something.
Chewing gum and something else in there to keep it locked in.
No, it was an actual fix. Yeah. So instead of being a 75 Lincoln it was a 75 Lincoln with a 72 points of condenser.
One piece at a time is Johnny Cash. I should have played that one.
That was
one
my
today.
Dad. That was his theme song.
Yeah, I should have played that one. Maybe I'll do that next week, But it would dovetail perfectly on what we're talking about.
But he never had a problem with that car afterwards. It was a great car. It was a great car. He had it for years.
It just seems like it's one electrical thing now after another, like the sort of half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I told the story before about the lean burn with the Dodge truck, and a friend of mine's friend drove back from Maryland with their air cleaner missing, and when they got up here, and they only went 10 miles and then shut down, 10 miles shut down. So it took them 3 days to get here, I think. Yeah. But instead of having a fix down there, they trusted us, so they wanted to. He wanted to drive it back, and he made it, but I wouldn't have done that. But this is also back in 1986, '87. Yeah. So when he got up there, he said, my air cleaner's missing. So I wasn't too versed on Dodges back at the time, so I asked the guy down the road who was a Mopar guy, and he's like, is the air cleaner there? I'm like, no. He goes, there's been a whole lot of thefts of these air cleaners. I said, what the heck's that guy doing anything?
Oh, man.
He goes, the lean burn, which they called it, the lean burn module, is part of the air cleaner, and that's why people are stealing them. So I asked Mike, I said, what happened? When did you notice your air cleaner missing? He goes, when I was down in Maryland. I'm like, that's what happened. Somebody stole your air cleaner, and that's what. He goes, get the hell out of here.
Oh. it's like a contributory thing, one thing, a chain reaction kind of thing. I don't know.
It was just some of the funny stories we have. I got a million of them.
How are we doing on the on the inspections and everything.
Inspections, yeah. And, yeah, but it's we went through an. They had a lot of changes, so we went through an audit on Tuesday, and not that anything was really wrong, but they changed a lot of procedures, and it made it painful. And yeah. They got a new inspector, auditor, and he's like Johnny State Trooper.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Super
but, it was funny. Yeah. It was actually funny.
Is it, is it for the good though?
I mean, I would hope so. We'll see how it goes. Some of it's a little overkill, but I understand where it come from because a lot of people's were bucking the system.
Yeah.
So this makes it a lot tougher to buck the system, which we weren't doing anyway. So it's really not going to be.
It's a wash, actually, right?
Yeah, it's not going to hurt us too much. It was just like it's extra steps that we have to take because of what other people have done.
Yeah, or haven't done.
So it's it's a little more painful that way. But to go through the audit with this guy was really interesting.
Yeah. Bueller?
No, he was kind
of... Anybody? Bueller? Anybody got anything?
He was kind of like, I don't know if you ever saw Lawman, but he was kind of like John Russell from Lawman.
Oh, yeah.
Lawman. He was like all stiff at the...
Yeah.
And he reminded me of my...
Lawman. I remember that one. Yeah.
Yeah, I watch it every day.
Yeah, I remember that.
And he reminded my...
Dan Troop.
Yep. Yeah. My... sergeant when I was in boot camp for the Air Force was exactly like that. Same mustache, same hat. Walk like that. Walk
chiseled features, you know, kind of stuff.
That's what this guy was. He was like, you know.
Ramrod, straight, right?
Oh, yeah.
No sense of
everything,
humor?
Everything, you know, gig lines all...
No sense of humor?
No, none at all.
No.
We're used to having joking around with our auditors.
I know.
This was like a, oh, bad, shut the door.
Man.
It's funny now once he's...
Tell gone. A joke and nothing but crickets there, but, out there.
We had a couple yesterday. We started the new procedures, and it's a couple more steps, but we'll get used to it, and it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. It'll be all right.
Yeah. So. Hey, anybody's got anything to add to the program or subtract from it? I don't care. 215-949-3232 with America's Mechanic, Fred Fletcher, running on fumes today.
Yeah, I'm tired. Yeah. And I'm in the office most of the time, so my guys have been killing it this week, and I feel bad for them. I keep trying to tell them to slow it down. You know, it's like, we can only do what we can do. Don't kill yourselves.
Now, this is, talk about, you know, you have to budget your time, Fred, a lot, and a day like yesterday is not safe for anybody.
Was bad.
And somebody could postpone a day, maybe. Can we just do something?
Yeah, we've had a few people. We've called, and I'm like, look, we're not going to get you in because, you know, we're trying to take it a little easier. Some are understanding, others not so much, which I don't get, and right now I don't care.
Stay a day in the shop.
My responsibility is for my guys.
That's
it's for my customers, too, but let's be realistic. If you were out there... For 8 to 10 hours a day, you'd feel the same way.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't expect anything more. I used to do it, you know, me and Dad, and for some reason it felt different back then.
Yeah, well,
I guess I'm 60 now.
Yes.
It's like,
you're 18, it could care less.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but we did what we had to do. And our building over in Trenton was big, and it had a nice breeze going through it. This one here is sun-baked all day long.
Oh, yeah, you're right out in the middle of it.
So I told my guys, stay hydrated. Take it easy. Don't kill it. It's just a car. And, you know, if the people don't understand it, can go somewhere else. I mean, I don't want to sound rude or cocky with that either, but let's be realistic. And my responsibility is to my guys and make sure they're okay.
A lot of weather going on over there. We had we had rain one.
Yeah. And yesterday was cumulative of the day before, so it was kind of like even double hot. Today's not as hot, but it's still, we've got a lot of sun over there right now.
Don't have any canopy you could put over there and do that.
Well, you'd have to canopy the whole quarter of Hood and South Olds for that. But
we can't be doing that.
Yeah, they're in the bays. I won't let them work outside in the sun.
Sure.
I mean, I'll go out there and throw a scanner on something if it check engine light, but I won't. No, if it can't go in the shop, I'm not pulling it in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not doing it out front. Much sun.
I had a Fred moment this morning, America's Mechanic. I was driving in almost at night. It's like seatbelt something or other just flashing. I said, what is this? And I said, I stopped for a minute because it was distracting. I said, what the heck could it be? And I said, here it was, you know, the pouch that I have here was sitting in the passenger side and acting like a passenger, like I hadn't had a seatbelt on.
Yep.
I had to belt my pack in there. So. And everything was fine.
A lot of people don't realize that, you know, they just throw their purse in there or whatever. They're like, why is this
It acts as a passenger.
Yeah, there are the pressure sensors in there and the occupant sensors.
But I solved it, and I said, America's Mechanic would be proud.
I am. I'm very proud
of you. Deductive reasoning there.
That you didn't have to call me, and I had to tell you to move your purse.
Yes, move my purse. Yeah, that would be at 5 o'clock in the morning, though. You wouldn't want any of that.
No, I don't. I would just all. I might answer it for you.
Yeah,
but I am up at 5. I'm up at 4:30.
It is interesting because of the business. I mean, it's just not. You just show up at 7:59 and go to work.
No,
there's so much planning and thought before you even do take the first customer, though.
Yeah,
you got to organize yourself.
I'm always there ahead of time. I don't want to tell you people what time I'm there because then they'll show up.
Yeah.
But
the day before, he's there.
I'm there earlier to write up the repair orders until Kelly gets there, and then she takes over. She gets there around 7:45. But I'm there earlier, setting up things, doing my yesterday's, inputs and all that stuff. And so when the guys get here, all they have to do is grab the repair orders and get going. And some parts I order ahead of time because I order them online.
Yeah.
So I get that rolling as fast as I can. Right. And I've just always been used to getting up early and doing that stuff.
Yeah, and you have an organizational gene about you anyway.
I mean, Reveille built into me.
Yes. but you were able to do all that stuff, prioritize things and like that. And that's a skill either you have or you don't.
Yeah.
I mean, really is. And some people are really good at it and others.
The day is
a
like
mess.
A big Tetris game where you got to move this 3-hour job alongside with this 1.5-hour job. Maybe in between while you're waiting for a part, you can, do stuff. It's a constant chess game all day long.
Yeah.
And some people have it, some people don't. Fortunately, I feel I have it. Yeah. I've always been pretty good about that.
Yeah.
And knowing which technicians' strong points are and what what they can do and what they can't do.
You got to know your people.
Yeah, it's not like I have an offensive lineman playing quarterback.
right,
I have a quarterback playing quarterback.
Right.
So we do a pretty good job at that.
Efficiency.
There's a big efficiency factor in there. So.
Some people have that. It's amazing. Years ago, parking lots downtown Philly would be filled, but somebody would move two cars and then back another one up just to get to your car, would then make three spaces and then get your car. How do you do that? I just visualize all that stuff. But it doesn't mean anything to like a layman like myself. There's just cars and they're parked and they're back. Mine is in the back. How are you going to get it? You watch.
Yeah, they'll find a way.
Move two, get another one, get another guy to move, and then all of a sudden there it is up front. And now everything's done with your license plate, so those days are gone. So if you don't know, I mean, you park someplace, you track down your license plate.
Yeah, it seemed like some of the people knew, like, this guy's going to be in here for 2 hours, so I'm not going to bury his car. This guy's going to be here all day, so I'm not going to put that car behind the other one.
That's right. Yeah, so, there you go.
that's how it works with that's what I try to do with my lot, too.
Yeah. Well, that one's in the other area code. I can get that, but it'll take me a while to get there. So anyway. but it is an organizational issue, and especially with time management for a mechanic or anything like that. And you're saying, when is it going to be ready for Grand Island? I've been waiting for 2 days.
We try not to put a car in that position, but sometimes with the availability of parts, it's not like if it's going to be like I can't get to that car till Friday, I'm going to tell you to drop it off Thursday or Friday. I'm not going to take it in today and hold your car and then decide to work on it on Friday. Unless it's broke down and you can still drive your car till it's time for me to get in. I'll save that spot for you. I got you in there.
Yeah, you
it's
have
called
to
a schedule for a reason.
Yeah, it's a commitment. It was what you're talking about there.
Yeah.
And work your plan your work is.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Our dads used to say.
A lot of people try to drop a car off on a Tuesday, and I'm like, you're not scheduled till Friday, and they'll be like, just leave it there. I don't need it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't have the space for it.
No, you don't.
Please don't.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a lot of cars on the lot, and we do a lot of volume, so I'm asking people to be a little reasonable with that too, and most people understand.
But, yeah, I remember
we get that every now and then.
I don't know how you did it at Morrisville because
I just had to deal.
It's big. The studio had more parking space than your that place. I don't know.
I was parked up Robert Morris Drive and all that stuff. And I hated that.
There was an apartment complex that was kind of, I don't know, probably steal a spot in there by everyone.
Well, we couldn't park in their lot, but we parked on Morris Street, Morris Avenue going up there, and then that's hit or miss because we had a couple cars hit.
Yeah.
And the store and the laundromat next to us, even though they had a big lot, they wouldn't let us park over there.
Well.
Yeah. So We repaid the favor when they needed something done on their car. So.
Yeah, well, yeah, right. Yeah, that's. I mean, that's part of the.
They'd be like, oh, I got a dead battery. Yes, so. Sucks to be you.
That's right. But you know what, though? It does. There's a lesson to be learned in there. Yeah. You want to be a good neighbor. I mean, that's
I wasn't putting junk cars over there. I wasn't because I had a lot in the back for junk cars.
No.
It was just the flow of cars. There might be three or four over there. I never took advantage of them before and put like 15 over there and took up their spots. I put them off to the side. Yeah. And all that stuff. Another reason why I'm not in Marshville anymore.
Right. So. Okay. But you do have that kind of cooperation with the restaurant across the street, and
if we need be.
But mm-hmm. but they're there. They don't sit there. You can't use that for a parking lot for your Toys for Tots. You know what?
They do.
They do. Yeah.
Fairless Hills Ice Cream is good about that, even in the wintertime, because they're open all year long. Yeah. As long as we don't park in front of their ice cream building, they're fine. Yeah. And we park off to the side and over by the kinder care because they're always closed.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I think that's a missing element today, Fred, I think, is the customer service and the cooperation. Or it seems like I gotta have it right then, right now. Yeah. And everybody can just forget about it. I'm moving to the front of the line.
Well, yeah.
You know what? It's
just more than it used to.
I don't know. It seems like a lost art. It's a lost art, actually, isn't it? Kind of.
What, trying to talk to customers that do that?
I mean, yeah. I mean, that just don't understand.
I lost it.
Understanding the big picture about stuff like that. There's a reality here. Like, guess what? If I need service, you know, I might have to make other arrangements here. Yeah, you know, you might have to.
Yeah, the last few years have been a little bit more difficult with that.
Yeah, I know you've done the 8 o'clock a.m. specials for me every once in a while, but coming in here on a Friday, you know, and then come back.
Yeah, some of the people, it's been a little tough conversations, to say the least. A little more than it used to be.
Yeah.
But we still do better than most, I think.
Get off my lawn. Yeah.
I've had, I get like that, once in a while. Last week I had one. He just kept going and going. I had to fire the customer. So, but.
That's an interesting one, too, that we can't help you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's, you're well within your right to do so.
I was being very reasonable, very accommodating, and they just kept pushing and pushing and pushing and, you're better off going somewhere else.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make you happy. I'm never going to make you happy. And I'm here to make you happy.
Shaming never worked. What's the matter?
Definitely never worked on
me.
It
gets personal, and then that's it, then, right?
No. I mean, when the customer tells you, after you give them a diagnosis and they're going to Google it to double check what you just told them, you can go somewhere else.
Jeez.
And she's like, well, I'm well within my right of checking the question. You are. Yeah. But. I don't work that way, and I'm not going to have my car sit on the lift for 2 hours while you're Googling to make sure what I'm telling you is not BS.
America's mechanic cannot be Googled. That should be on the every right there across the top of the garage.
No, if you have a question, that's fine. But I'll tell you, and I'm not going to give you any crap. I'm just going to tell you exactly.
I got to look with Google, man. Hey, can I look with you?
Do they realize how much Google is not true? I mean,
yeah.
I'll even, like, if I have a hard-to-find problem, look, that's why I joined the other chat rooms with other technicians.
I never thought of that.
But when you Google stuff and you just type in what the symptom is, you get 10,000 freaking, WebMD type of deals. You know, I got a hangnail. Oh, it's going to lead to a heart attack.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, if I'm telling you something's wrong with your car, that's what's wrong with your
car. That's right.
And if I'm wrong, I will make good on it. So
referring all those calls to Howard Fine and Howard.
Yeah.
So they can take it from there.
Luckily, I haven't had to use my lawyer for that.
This is good therapy for you today, Fred. Yeah. I think it's helping you out.
It's like deja vu. I think we did this a couple weeks ago.
I think it's the summer months, too, I think, that do that, because everybody's their temper's a little short, and the heat and everything else. In the wintertime, you know what? Everybody's cold. Okay, fine. And they don't want to stand out and
mess I'm not fine with cold. I'd rather have this, even though I'm complaining about it.
I would too. I mean,
I'm a hot weather guy.
Yeah.
I'm not very happy about this extreme hot weather.
No.
But it is taking a toll on people's cars just as much as the cold.
We had
a few people that come in yesterday with air condition issues that really didn't have air condition issues. They turned their car on. Now, one was a 2013 Nissan. So the car's already 12 years old. Not that should make a big difference, but it does. When you turn your car on, you put the AC on, you put it to cold, it does not immediately get cold.
No.
When a car's sitting out there in 110 degrees and the sun's beating on it and you got all this going on, your ductwork is all hot, everything is hot, all the metal components are hot. It's so hot that your temperature gauge for your thermostat and the engine coolant is already registering, even without the car running right now.
Okay.
Yeah, because they'll run from 100 to 260, you know, most gauges. And you'll hop in a car, like I'll hop in my Yukon yesterday, and it was already registering, and I didn't even start the car. So, because, you know, but...
I think there's a
you got to give it a few seconds before you start expecting cool air.
I don't like blasting it either because that just seems like a tax on the on your engine there.
No, you can once it's cool, once everything starts cycling.
It takes a while.
You don't want to put it on max and then have it sit out there because there's a lot of oils and stuff in the compressor and the system, and if you're just going to put it immediately on high, your pressures are going to go quicker than they should. And it does put a taxing on. But once everything gets through, the oils get circulated throughout the system and stuff, go ahead and crank it up.
Yeah.
Make it cold.
Yeah.
And also, I had they came in because they said, my it's not blowing as cold as it used to be. So I put the temperature gauge on. It was 51 out of the vents. And I'm like, that's pretty good. They're like, well, it's usually colder. I said, well, it's also 115 degrees out here.
Yeah.
So you got to give that a little compensation, too. It's like... You know, 51 feels damn good when
it
it's
does. Yes, it does.
So
we have the car seat index there.
And she also didn't have it on max, which is the recirc. So she's pulling in humidity. The recirc button on an AC, what it does is take the inside air and pushes it back through. So you're not getting all that outside humidity.
Yeah.
So you're pumping in constantly dry air because a lot of air conditioning is designed not so much to cool, but to pull humidity. That's why you have a condenser, an evaporator core, stuff like that. You know, a condenser turns it to a liquid. Evaporator core turns it back into a gas so it'll cool. One thing, I have one in today, the evaporator core. If that drain is not clean, it'll back up and it'll freeze. And then your air conditioner won't work as well. So we have one of them coming in today. She said it was, when she gets going, it's cold. And then eventually it starts going away. Mm. And
I think
she noticed frost coming out of the vents.
Wow.
So, yeah, that tells me that her drain is clogged. The evaporator core is freezing because the water that the evaporator is pulling from the outside is not draining. And then it freezes like ice because that, you know.
Wow.
So you have to make sure that's clean.
Frost in June there. How about that?
Frost in June. Yeah. Unless you like that.
No, thank you.
I'm Mr. Snow Miser.
Yeah.
I've actually seen somewhere they look like it's blowing snow out of the vents.
Yeah.
Feels good for a minute, but eventually it's like going to go away.
Anything else you put in the wintertime, you get the heat going. You do the same thing with your heat because you just got to give it time.
Car's got to warm up.
Just give it some time. You know?
Yeah, if you're driving for 3-4 minutes and you're not noticing anything, then you got an issue. But, give it a couple of minutes and you'll be fine if everything's working out good. Trying to think of some of the other weird issues with HVAC. Something that's been coming up, I'd say, the last 15 years or so is the cabin air filter. A lot of that is overlooked in services. I check them. I don't replace them every time. The dealership tries to sell them all the time. They're like $40-something. And, you know, it's just you don't need it every time unless you're skanky. So, but...
That's not in the manual, is it?
I look in there and says, if the air filter's skanky, then you got a problem. But, I've had a few skanky cars in there last week. But the filter will get clogged up and it won't. Just as your house, if you have your... Because it's like an air intake. So if, like in your house with the cold air return, you put your filter in there. If that pulls your dust out of your house over time, if you don't change it every few months or couple months, that'll clog up and then you won't get optimum cooling. Same as your car. Same as with this cabin air filter. That's what its job is to do. So I pulled things out like dead mice, pine needles, gum wrappers, leaves.
I'll get that one. Yeah,
and they end up getting caught in there because they get pulled through the through the vents. So, I've pulled out some strange stuff.
We don't have a car seat index for the winter and the springtime when you have barebacking. During the summer or wintertime, you get the bareback on the...
Days like yesterday, you sit in on a black seat, you get burned to second-degree burns, and then you turn your air on, it's like a blowtorch in your face.
We used to call that the car seat index, when you have the... all of a sudden your sweatshirt rides up and you got nothing but bare skin against a cold car.
Those cab drivers with the bamboo beads, they have the right idea, don't they?
Yeah, that's right. They get that and then a hot... Oh, gee.
Yeah, the 1970s bamboo beads.
Yeah.
They were actually cooler.
They were.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, the car seat index, that kind of stuff. And, but notice any recalls on tires or anything like that?
No.
Things are pretty...
Well, if there is, I haven't seen it yet.
It goes in waves, doesn't it? I mean, kind of like everything's great, and all of a sudden you're replacing
tires.
There's
something that, you bring up a good point with tires. Yeah. The cheap tires that are mostly plastic-based instead of more rubber-based.
Yeah.
They have a problem with
heat.
Dissipating heat. I had a customer in the other day that had, I checked their tires, and they all had them over 52. And I'm like, you can't put it there. Yeah. And she's like, well, I didn't do it. I said, well, I don't know who did it, but because her tire light came on. So she probably asked somebody, and they're like, oh, you need more air in your tire.
Yeah.
Well, the light never came out, so she came in. So I went out there. I said, well, they're all at over 52, and it's hot out here. So if you took a long trip, this tire may have exploded. I don't want to throw the fear of God in you, but with the amount of temperature you get out on the highway, you get out on the turnpike, that tire might go up to 65, 70 PSI while you're driving. And some of these tires don't handle that.
Yeah, so. We kind of think it stays the same. Oh, the pressure's there. Fine, it's 44 PSI. Yeah.
By the max that's on the side of the tire. They're not designed that way anymore.
No.
The old bias ply tires, you probably do. But I wouldn't keep them. I'd put them right as whatever the label says, right on the door jamb. Yeah. Or if it's not there, give me a call and I'll look it up for you. Most of them are hanging around 32 to 36. I keep mine at 32.
Tires better better for cold or hot weather.
Well, they're mostly designed
most damage,
for everything.
Most damage. What do you find?
Hot. Yeah. I'm going to say hot. Yeah.
Okay.
They might leak a little more in the cold, but
melt and
a lot of people because they put too much in there. And the reason that that customer's light was on is because they had 52 PSI in there.
Wow.
So there's a range for that tire sensor. Whether the light will come on whether it's less than 24 or higher than 42 or whatever. Yeah, whatever the parameter that sensor is. Now, also, if you have 36 on one side and 56 on the other side, the light's going to come on because you have unequal pressures. There's a lot of things that go into that TPMS system. So, it's not just to let you know that you have a low tire. There's a lot of things going on there. There's a science to it.
Filling up at the Wawa, that seems about right.
Yeah, and a lot of people will over-inflate their tires thinking they're getting better gas mileage. But what you're doing is you might be picking up half a mile per gallon, but you're also running on the center of your tread, so you're wearing out your tire.
Because you're losing.
You've got less tire on the road, even though it doesn't look like it. You have the physics of it. The center groove of the tire is
more
getting
more. Is not better.
Yeah, more is not always better.
Yeah,
unless it's money.
That's right.
Or beer.
That's right. Absolutely.
Garage
beer. That's right. So. All right. Yeah, we're going to kill the half hour already.
It doesn't take long.
That's right. Two big mouths. So much so we need an hour to do this stuff. And guess what?
We got another one.
Another coming up here.
You ask and we shall receive.
Yeah, that's right. Come back.